Blog Talk Radio.
Somebody's having trouble signing in, aren't they? Wow. Well, it's all right. Welcome, Blog Talk Radio. It's good to have you with us tonight. We appreciate each one of you that are with us wherever you might be around the world. May God richly bless you and bring his blessing and abundance upon you. Tonight, we're going to be talking about several different things. And this is a question and answer session, so we welcome you to come on and ask questions. If you have a question about any part of your life, Audrey and Ken Brumbaugh and Sally Rice. There we go.
Isn't that funny, Facebook? You're so precious.
It's our day to just get together and have a great time studying the Word of God like we always do. But I'm going to tell you something. I saw it again today as we were just living about in our day. That this day we're living in is going to get increasingly wicked. Increasingly wicked. And I encourage you, I beg of you, I command you, I implore you, I beseech you. I beseech you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and do not let this evil day get on you. In the day we used to live in, God kind of winked at sin. There's no winking anymore. There's no longer any gray. You're either in darkness or you're in light. And the gray is gone. And it is of absolute importance that we walk in the light as he is in the light. And you might say, Pastor, I don't know everything I need to know. Well, I know everything you need to know, and Dr. Barclay knows everything I need to know, and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, knows everything that all of us need to know. How amazing is that? And the book of Hebrews says, follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. And that's what we're doing here. By faith and patience, we are inheriting the promise.
Hallelujah.
And so I encourage you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might in a way that you may have never been before. But I am certain you're going to be in that way again. Now, real quick here, I want to play for you a very specifically important video that I found about Israel. And what I like about this report is this is from Benjamin Netanyahu, who used to be the prime minister. But he's making a very important statement, and I want you and I to hear it, to hear this from the point of view of end times events. All right? I'm going to play it for us as we get started here. And I encourage you to... that's interesting. Let me see if I can go here. That would be better. And no, that was... No. No. Well, let's just see how this works, okay? Let's I'm working diligently here to make this all work.
I'm sorry, and I was I probably should have been paying attention. I was watching Dan walk around his truck. I was like, wow, how many trucks does he have on? Five, I think.
All right, now, here we go. Don't worry about it. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
I'm over here. I'm on screen two. There we are, screen two. If you see screen two, somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Turn the volume
Glory
up.
Hallelujah.
There we go. That's on. That's on. The furnace is off. The screen is shared. Camera is off.
Do you want YouTube up? Or not yet?
Yeah, let's do that. Everybody just pause for a minute.
We're paused.
Yeah, is it like what, Pastor? Like, you think we're already paused? Sitting here watching you. It's all right. Thanks you for being respectful while you watch and not being mouthy, as I was to my own self. Here we go. This is Mark Levin, and he has got a very interesting interview with Benjamin Netanyahu. Here we go. Hear him out.
Welcome back, America. We're here with a tremendous guest, the former Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. The reason I thought it was important for the American people, and in fact the world, to hear from you, Mr. Prime Minister, is because this nuclear deal appears to be getting very, very close between the United States and Iran. There's a lot going on in the world right now, and I'm concerned there's not enough focus on this. So let's start this way. What would a nuclear Iran mean to the region, to the world, to the United States?
I think it would be a catastrophic development, and I choose my words carefully. To have a terrorist rogue regime that is animated by a crazy ideology that chants death to America, death to Israel, that wants to subjugate the entire Muslim world, that views everyone else as dangerous infidels that should be either subordinated to them or killed. To have the Ayatollahs have nuclear weapons is the most dangerous development on the world scene that we could possibly imagine. But that's exactly where this deal is leading. It's not preventing Iran from getting nuclear weapons. It's going to pave their way to get nuclear weapons, and it's paving their way with gold, with hundreds of billions of dollars that they're going to get to boot. A nuclear arsenal and hundreds of billions of dollars to purvey their terror, to purvey their aggression. That's crazy.
I would ask you this. We're not hearing a lot, certainly not in the United States, from the government of Israel. We're not hearing a lot from Prime Minister Bennett. You know, in 2015, you came to the United States. You spoke to the entire Congress, really to America and the entire world, objecting to what the then administration was doing with this first nuclear deal. This apparently is much worse. And I have to tell you, as an American citizen sitting here, I am not hearing objections. Certainly, if they're made, they're not made in a proper form or they're not made consistency from the current Israeli government. Now, why would that be?
Mark, you're going to have to ask them that question, but I can tell you what my policy has been and is and will be. Is to speak out forcefully against this warped deal, this dangerous deal that puts in peril the survival of my country, the security of America, the security of the world. And I think it's the responsibility of leaders to speak the truth, especially on matters that determine our future and could jeopardize our future. So I spoke that like it wasn't easy coming to Congress. That's not easy challenging the U.S. president. America is our greatest ally. But when the policy is wrong, you have to speak up. And it doesn't matter who's sitting there in the White House. What's important is, what is the policy? Policy is wrong. This agreement was supposed to be, Mark, stronger and longer. It's actually weaker and shorter. And you know why it's weaker and shorter? Because, well, actually, President Obama said it right. He said in a moment of candor in 2015, he said, within 12 years and on, which means by 2027, at the time when the deal was signed, within 12 years, the Iranians will have advanced centrifuges, and therefore the breakout time to a nuclear bomb, he said, will be practically down to zero. Now, this deal doesn't push the date forward. It says exactly that. In 2027, which is 5 years from now, Iran will have a breakout capacity, the capacity to enrich enough uranium for an arsenal of nuclear bombs, and it can do that with a housekeeping seal of approval of this international agreement. That is not merely nonsensical. It's very, very dangerous for the future of the world, because you've got to understand, this deal not only lets Iran achieve an arsenal of nuclear bombs, it doesn't prevent them from creating the missiles to bring them to you. They're developing ballistic missiles, ultimately intercontinental ballistic missiles, that can take nuclear warheads, nuclear bombs, put them on the missile and deliver them to any place in the United States. In fact, any place in the world. That is a different world. We can't go there. It makes a hell of a difference if Holland has nuclear weapons or the Ayatollahs have nuclear weapons. And when people who are so suffused with hatred and with the desire for destruction, when you give them the weapons of mass death to deliver to a theater near you, they'll get there. That changes history, and we cannot allow that to happen. This deal has to be opposed. If it's signed, then I expect a future administration to leave the deal and prevent Iran from having nuclear weapons in any way possible. That would be my policy. You asked what my policy was? That's my policy. I said from the start, you can sign this deal, with a deal, without a deal. I, as the Prime Minister of Israel, will do whatever I have to do to make sure Iran doesn't get nuclear weapons, both for the security and survival of my country, but I think for the security and peace of the entire world.
And if they have nuclear weapons, Mr. Prime Minister, what's to stop them from blackmailing their neighbors? What's to stop them from invading their neighbors? What's to stop them, for instance, further unleashing Hezbollah against Israel and threatening that if any of these Arab countries or Israel take certain actions, that they'll use these weapons? So it is a complete game changer for the Middle East, isn't it?
For the world. First of all, they can put the entire world, they can take the entire world hostage. You know, once you have a predatory and especially in a rogue theocratic regime like this have nuclear weapons, they can use them in two ways. One, they can threaten you directly with atomic bombs. Secondly, they have a nuclear umbrella, which is what you just mentioned, to threaten you with conventional weapons like regular missiles or terrorists or anything else. And that gives them awesome power. And I think you have to understand that I think Iran would be a nuclear power different from all the other nuclear powers, and some of them are bad enough, but I think they won't obey any rules. And this is so dangerous. Dangerous for Americans, dangerous for Israelis, dangerous for Arabs, dangerous for Europeans. I think it changes history. And that's why I took the unusual step of coming to the Congress, speaking there, something that was not easy to do. And I'm doing it now too, and I'm going to continue doing this. And I think it's important to prevent Iran from having those means. And by the way, if you want to understand how bad this deal is, it not only gives Iran the freedom with an international legitimacy to enrich uranium on an unlimited quantity with much more sophisticated centrifuges in just a few years. It also gives them money, an enormous amount of money to boot. I mean, it's so absurd. They're lifting sanctions from these terrorists. The other day, just this week, Iran fired the revolutionary.
Now, we can let that go, but I don't want to keep letting it go. I want you to see and hear where we are at. Because since the last time we talked about this, we haven't talked anything more about this.
So Fatih and I'm
just doesn't mean that it's not there. This situation in the Middle East is continuing to go, and you and I got to continually be dealing on the inside of our hearts saying, look up, our redemption is drawing nigh. Help me, Jesus, to get all of the incidentals. Let me get my video back on here. Help me get all of the incidentals, all of the distractions, all of the just useless yuck out of my life so that I can be focused in these last days to reap the biggest harvest I can reap. Now, I want to play this next one for you. And you guys know him, and we like him. This one's only 5 minutes long. And so I want you to hear what he says. This is a very, very, very powerful 5 minutes of an update from Israel. Here we go. This man's a born-again Christian right here, filled with the Holy Spirit. One of the better Bible, end-time Bible teachers I've heard right here. Here we go.
He did it on Telegram a few times, and now I've seen already an official document of the Israeli government and the Israeli police that is confirming what I reported. So, folks, just so you know, there is running around, there is a sort of a new teaching that is being circulating right now in Islamic mosques in Israel, but also it's coming all the way from Iran, a teaching that based on calculation of some Islamic cleric from verses in the Quran, listen to this, Israel will cease to exist on July 8th this year. Again, I reported that. If you're not on Telegram, you need to be on Telegram, because this is where I report these things. Again, there is an Israeli document already, a government document. This is not just rumors anymore. So you need to understand, this month of Ramadan that will start in a few days, the Muslims convince themselves this is the last Ramadan before Israel is gone. They convince themselves that this is the Ramadan they need to use to put an end to Israel. You need to understand, they somehow convince themselves that by July 8th, according to their calculations, they convince themselves that somehow Israel will cease to exist, will come to an end. The Arabs will win this coming July 8th. Now, I'm telling you, at first when I heard about it, I thought, I don't think anyone in Israel will even think about it, talk about it. But I'm telling you, in light of 3 major terror attacks within 1 week that killed 11 Israelis, we haven't had this since the early 2000s. We've had the most secure and safe years under Netanyahu. This new government is now appeasing the Palestinians, and this new administration in Washington is trying to do that as well, and we're watching what happens right now. But I want you to know, folks, this is above and beyond political. This is a religious war that was waged, and it's based, again, on some sort of a Muslim cleric from Iran that came up with a formula by calculating some dates that he got from some surah in the Quran, that Israel's end is by July 8th. And this is what is motivating some clerics in mosques in Israel to give preachings about it. And that is causing excitement in some devout Muslims who want to go to heaven, who want to take part of this effort to bring the end of the state of the Jewish people. So I need you to understand, folks, again, if you're not on Telegram, go to Telegram Messenger, find my channel, Amir Tzarfati. It's over 250,000 people there. You're going to get those things all the time, okay? Do that. Please, do me a favor. We are entering into a phase of, in a way, existential war right now. The Israeli Prime Minister just told the Israeli public the following thing. Listen to this. If you have a license to bear arms, please. Can you imagine a U.S. president telling everyone who has license for a gun, please carry your gun with you. Well, that's what the Israeli prime minister just said. That tells me that finally the Israeli government, this weak, pathetic government, understands we're in a big problem right now. If you thought that 2022 is going to be easier and lighter than what we had the year before, 2 years earlier, kiss that thought goodbye. We're entering a new phase, and I want you to know, again, there is a Muslim teaching running around, maybe the trigger for something much bigger that you and I know that is going to happen in the Middle East. So I'm telling you, I'll update you more about that. But again, this is why within 7 days, 11 Israelis were killed in three different terror attacks held and carried by Arab Muslims who are influenced by these teachings, okay? I'll keep you updated. I'll keep you posted. Go and get Telegram Messenger and find my channel, Amir Tzarfati. It's over 255,000 subscribers, and get updated every day, okay? Please share.
Now, that's enough of that. And the reason why I want to show that to you is because it's real easy to continually say, well, all right, you know, Pastor, you said something a couple of weeks ago, but nothing's happened. Jesus hasn't come back. And is it really true? This stuff is really true. I wanted to play these two for you because I wanted you to hear what Benjamin Netanyahu, one of the greatest leaders since, probably the greatest leader since Golda Meir in Israel, Netanyahu said it, and then this guy just said it right here, that, hold on just a second. Why am I there? Now, when the Israeli leader says to every citizen, if you are licensed to carry a weapon, carry it. Well, what is he saying? I am thoroughly expecting more terrorist activity to happen. Arm yourself and defend yourself against these wicked people. Now, you might say, Pastor, is it really that bad? Yeah, it's really that bad. Don't you wish that that's what Biden would say to you and I? That's what's supposed to be being said to us because of who we are in God. Now, hold on just a second here. James, Denny, Phyllis, K. Raymond, love you guys. Glad to have you with us tonight. Francetta's with us. Hold on just a second. I got to reopen. I got to go out and come back in. No, not that one. This one. No. Somebody please send me a link so I can get connected to tonight's program. Mm-hmm. Isn't that just something? Hold on, I got to find it because this is my only way to be able to see you guys post. Somebody send me a invitation.
To Facebook?
To the Facebook feed. Oh, I got it. There it is. Now, Palestinians are not the Jewish people, although some people are that are living there. But when they speak of Palestinians, they're talking about the people that are on the side of Hezbollah and on the side of the Islam people. And they're fighting against Israel. Now, let me make it real quick, real simple, because this is not my teaching for tonight. Why did you just show it to us? Well, if we're not careful, we're going to be like Jesus said, that in the end times, people are going to say, well, you know, we've heard this end time stuff. Didn't happen in the last week and a half, so is it really going to happen? And then what happens? We begin to drop the guard. Remember about the five foolish and the five wise virgins? What was the deciding factor for the five wise and five foolish virgins? Five did not have oil, and five did have oil. Hey, Ecclesia family, I love you. Ken Brumba,
hey,
we love you.
Thank you,
Ken. We'll see you in Lansing, Michigan tomorrow, 3 p.m. for communion on the Capitol Step. And Columbus is next.
Yes.
No. Wait, you got to be careful what I say. Jesus, help me. We'll have a FedEx truck and a milk truck driving around the Capitol in Columbus. Brother Ken and Brother...
blowing the trumpet.
Brother
Hallelujah.
Ken and Brother James Denny Jr. be sitting right there in the Capitol saying, all right, we're here. Go with me to Luke 21, 34 through 38. Now, this is Saturday Night Live, so we kind of just go crazy on Saturday Night Live, and we're kind of bounced all over the place. And so I welcome you to bounce with us and get your bouncing clothes on. If you're sitting at home and you got your jammies on, get up, get your tennis shoes on, get some jogging shorts on, whatever you do, get some bouncing shoes, because we're going to go all over the Word of God tonight and really, truly build us and establish us in everything that God's spoken to us throughout this week. Now, let's read these end times verses again right now, just for the sake of putting them back in our lives again. Remember, if you and I don't make a point to put this word in our heart, it will not be there. So you and I got to out loud, out of our mouth, with our ears listening, get this word in our heart. You ready? Hold your Bible up, and we're going to make our confession about the Word of God, and we're going for this thing, man. Here we are, 8:59 Eastern Standard Time. You watch how much word and how many questions we answer in the next 59 minutes. Are you ready? Say it with me. This is my Bible. I believe what God's Word says.
I am what God says I am.
Because he is the great I am.
The
Holy Spirit of God.
My resident teacher
is making his word come alive in my life tonight. I receive the word of God and plant him as a seed in the good soil of my heart. Producing a hundredfold return in my spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. Now, the Apostle Paul said, don't turn there, I'm just referring, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless to the coming of the Son of Man. Faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. You are a spirit. You have a soul, your mind, your will, and your emotion. You live in a body. You, the spirit, are in control and command of your soul and your body. And if you're not, then get there, because it's your soulish realm that gives you any trouble in the day we live. Once you're born again, your spirit man is in communion with God the Father. The only thing that gets in your way is your soulish realm. If you weren't here last night for last night's message about the soul, man, go get that teaching. Holy Spirit was speaking loud and strong and powerful last night about how we were trained and how to not let it solve and not let it stop another day of your life. Here we go. Luke, hold on. Luke chapter 22, verse 34. Take heed to yourself. 21.
Okay,
I don't know. I just, somewhere I read it or saw, I saw it. I might have saw the next page. 21:34. Take heed to yourself. You're literally a presumed subject for this sentence is you take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this world. Everybody pause. Father, we pray for Sister Rebecca to be able to get connected somewhere tonight.
Amen.
God bless you, Rebecca. Just sit tight. Don't touch any buttons. Just sit there. Love you. Verse, the day come on you unexpectedly. See, what's going on with all the confusion around is trying to get us to get our eyes off of Jesus.
Yeah.
It's trying to get our eyes on the confusion. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care who you are, you're going to be a focused individual to keep your eyes off the confusion in this day. Because it is absolutely everywhere. It is everywhere. I've been doing a little bit more research on that McDonald's Planned Parenthood situation. I am not impressed with what I saw at all last night. But I'm not talking about that tonight, so you got to come back another day for that. Verse 35, for that day, the final day will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. God's not trying to snare you. The enemy is trying to snare you. God is screaming at every believer today, get rid of the distractions. Turn off the TV. Read your Bible. That's what God's doing. God's doing his best by the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you to help you get free from all of those distractions. Verse 35, Luke 21:35. It'll come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all of the things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Mark 13:32. Mark 13:32. Well, wait a minute. Let's go to Mark 13, and we're going to read 3 through 13. Welcome to everybody that's with us tonight. Brother Ken Brumbaugh, Franz Edegos, James Denny Jr., Sister Leanne, Phyllis K. Raymond, all y'all, Franz Edegos over there on Facebook Live, all of our friends on YouTube, bless you. All of you over there on Blog Talk Radio, bless you. Whenever you're holding down the fort, hold down the fort. Here we go. Mark 13:3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, you come out the temple gate, the Mount of Olives was a hill right there at the temple, and you could walk up in the Mount of Olives, a bunch of olive trees there, Garden of Gethsemane, and you could look down and see all the temple. So Jesus and the disciples are looking at the temple when this story happens. Peter, James, John, Andrew ask him privately, tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled? Jesus answering them began to say, take heed that no one deceives you. You come here, you ask your questions, we're going to find every verse of scripture we can. From Genesis, from the generations to the revolutions, we're going to find every verse of scripture we can to help you stand and be the most solid believer that there is. Amen. We're probably going to be one of the greatest forces that in the end times that the internet's ever seen is ministries like us. And since we're leading in it, then we're going to teach a lot of ministries how to do exactly what we're doing. Because in the last day, pastors are going to have to be discipling their people every single night, just like this. This ain't revival, folks. At the beginning, we're like, wow, look at this revival we're having. This ain't revival. This is daily life and sustenance to make it. That's what this has turned into being. And thank God that we saw the picture then and we just stood here and been faithful. And God has blessed us, given us the strength and power to be able to do it. Back now, Mark 13:6. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of war, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, and the end is not yet. So what we just saw Safari say on there, that's going to happen. Iran and these nations are going to do their best to kill all of Israel. Will they ever get it done? Somebody say, no, 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 absolutely will never kill all of Israel. Somebody just type it in. You won't get rid of Israel. Amen? Why? Because it's all done. God's done with the whole world trying to wipe out his nation. From now on, everybody stands up against them. Oops, you made the wrong choice, because nobody will ever again, since the olive tree has budded, nobody will ever again wipe out Israel. Not another day. Keep reading. I'm in verse 8. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. 49 earthquakes yesterday. 14 in the United States of America. These are the beginning of sorrows. Watch out for yourself. Nobody else can take care of you. You've got to get serious about this. Not afraid. Say it with me. No fear.
No fear.
Very serious.
Very serious.
Yeah. They will deliver you up to councils. You'll be beaten in the synagogues. You'll be brought before rulers and kings for my sake and my testimony. The gospel must first be preached to all the nations. When they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you'll speak. But whatever is given you in that hour by the Father through the Holy Spirit, speak that. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit that speaks. Brother will betray brother to death. We've heard it right here in our gathering of believers, how some of you have had your families absolutely deny you and literally say, you're just dead. That is prophesied right there. I don't care how much you don't want it to come to pass. Jesus just told us it's going to come to pass. You ready? And you don't have to worry about whether it will someday in the future. It's already happening right now. Mm-hmm. We watched in COVID people turning in their own relatives for not getting a shot. Now, how stupid of a person can you be to pull a dumb stunt like that? That's not only stupid, it's absolutely ignorant. And put them to death. 13. You'll be hated by all for men for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Matthew 24. Don't worry, this is not my message. This is just getting us tuned up. Matthew 24, 8 through 14. If you have a question about what I'm saying right now, type it in real quick right now while we're on it. It's only 10 after. We're doing good. Matthew 8 through 14. Matthew 24, 8 through 14. Got it. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. You know what that means? When they hated Jesus, they're going to hate us. But guess what? It doesn't matter if they hate us. We're still the force on the face of the earth. We still have the restraining order that restrains them, and they ain't nothing they can do about that restraining order. They can't stop it. When you're a tither, there's nothing the enemy can do. The devourer is rebuked. He can't stop it. All right, here we go. 9, I'm in verse 10. Many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. Have you got that from any religious people lately? Oh, my Lord, if you haven't, hang on to your hat band because it's out there. I've seen it already. Mm-hmm. Keep going. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Verse 12. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Say it. I'm going to keep my love hot. Now, see, that's not sex, and that's not a more amorous love for one another or for a mate. There's nothing wrong with sex or having love for a human, but this is talking about people's love for God. Because lawlessness will abound everywhere, the love of many will become cold. Why? Because they don't keep themselves hot in this word. You got to keep your nose in this book and shut off the garbage, because the garbage is going to be filled with everything and it's going to be totally depressing and wrong. Shut it off and get your nose in the book. Keep going. 13, he who endures to the end shall be saved. That doesn't say he that got born again one time shall be saved. That says he who endures to the end shall be saved. You got to go all the way to the end. You're really testing your love for God and your commitment to God and your salvation and sanctification to say, I got saved once, not going back to church, but I'll make it all the way to the end. Whew. You tell you what the old blues gospel singers sang about that. Standing on shaky ground. They sing it better than I did. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Now, I am staying hot for God.
Amen.
I'm staying hot for God. I am staying on fire.
And so are you all with us.
I am staying on fire for God. And everybody that sticks close to me is going to be on fire for God. And I'm going to push every wall, every limit, every barrier that I can push every single day so that I can reach every person that could be standing anywhere close to me so that you and I are getting everybody we can possibly get. Listen, it's from last night's message. Don't become more obnoxious in the kingdom. Become more loving. But become more bold. God doesn't need another Bible-thumping bully. God needs someone who can teach people how to walk in the paths of righteousness for his namesake.
Yeah.
You don't teach them they're going to come to your church or your denomination. Teach them they're going to have a relationship with the Father. And then the Holy Spirit resides on the inside, and the teacher, every one of us have the same resident teacher taking us all to the same place in God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory, 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 glory. Now, how do you put all of that into context is... let's go back here to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're here regularly anymore. We're here now as much as what we were at the beginning with Romans chapter 8, verse 11.
Yeah.
All right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Well, it's in here somewhere. You know, I don't usually do this, but I want to read verses 1 through 8. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 8. Watch. Ask some questions. Any of the end time questions you have right now, ask them. And then in a minute, we're going to answer a question for Brother Roger that his nephew asked him today. And I've got a word tonight about Jesus and the eternality of Jesus. Wait, what was the title? I got all my things up, but nobody tells me the title. Jesus, his inheritance conquers eternally. Jesus' inheritance conquers eternally, and I and you are part of that inheritance. That's a good word. That's coming yet tonight. Here we go. 2 Thessalonians 2:1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you, do not soon to be shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. It, when you know the end time events, you're not going to be soon shaken. You're going to be fired up saying, woo, the devil can't touch us. I miss the tribulation. I crush his head all the way to the end. And therefore, I have the restraining force. Verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. That's the Antichrist. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, but he ain't God.
But he ain't.
But he ain't.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 5. Do you remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining him, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he, capital He, who now restrains, will do so until he, capital He, is taken out of the way, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. See, this is why you can be confident all the way to the end that you're going in the rapture, because the Antichrist cannot set up on this earth until you and I, the body of Christ, the restraining force on this earth, are moved off of this earth. I've been telling you for a month, I'm ready to just go on the road and preach from now until the day that Jesus comes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm ready to just gain a bigger and bigger group of people traveling with us all the way. I'm just ready. I'm ready for all y'all to get your faith out there, sow some seed, get your life going, figure out the hundredfold return, your inheritance, your place in God, and just get on the road with us. Whether you want a big motor coach, a bus, a little motor home, or you want to just sleep in a hotel and drive in your car, it doesn't matter. This is my deal. We got to tell everybody everywhere all the time, every day, Jesus is coming. Do not listen to the lies of the Antichrist.
Amen.
I know. I heard about 15 people right then say, let's go, Pastor. Here we go. Watch this. I'm looking for questions. If you're writing them and I'm not seeing, make sure you write them twice. I see Francetta said, I don't understand, but you may have, that may have come to you. So if there's still a question there, then please make sure you ask that question, because that'll help us. Now, I did all of that, and it only took me 20 minutes. All right? We did a lot in 20 minutes right there. For this purpose, you and I are in the end times. Go with me right now to Isaiah 60. We were here last night, but it's all right. We're going to just continue to be here because this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, and all that stuff you learned in Sunday school, that was really good then, and they needed to teach you all that then. But I'm going to tell you right now, these are the verses we got to get into, because these are the most important end times verses you're ever going to see. Watch. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, arise and shine. Arise and shine. Get yourself up and start shining. 1-5. Arise and shine, because your light has come. Where is the light? Shining on you? No, it's shining from within you out. Once you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there is nothing that can put your light out except you saying, I don't know, I'm confused, I'm lost, I don't think Jesus' power is good enough, and oh my God, will I ever be good enough? No, you will never be good enough. But Jesus will be good enough, and he lives inside of you.
Amen.
Jesus' righteousness is good enough, and it's inside of you. His love, his mercy, his grace is enough, and it's inside of you right now. I just heard somebody say, Pastor, I just wish I could be as fired up as you are. I know. Fire it up, would you?
How about a travel trailer? That'll work, Roger, whatever you want to roll in.
What was the name of that mule that Juan Valdez had, the mule, if you want to just travel around like Juan Valdez with your tent? Just as long as you have two big bags of coffee on that mule with you, we will give you a mule hauling trailer. Here we go. Darkness will cover the earth. You can't change it. Deep darkness, the people of the earth. You can't change it. Why? Because people want it. The only thing you and I can do is make sure our light is crystal clear, pure, all the time.
Amen.
The Lord will arise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. The Lord will arise up out of you and his glory is going to be seen upon us, coming out of us. In every part of our life, people are going to be like, you look like Jesus. And you'll be like, glory, hallelujah, I'm doing it right. 3, the Gentiles, the world, the lost, the sinners will come to your, they'll be drawn like a moth to the flame, like two magnets together. Like a lost person in the darkness that can see a little tiny light. Have you ever been lost in the dark and not been able to see anything? And then all of a sudden you see a light down across the way and you're like, glory, hallelujah, I can see something. I remember being up by one of the lighthouses in the UP, and we got real brave and decided to walk out a mile and a half out through the woods to go see an abandoned lighthouse that wasn't used anymore. And got out there, and the sun was setting, and it was really pretty on the water and behind the building, and we were taking pictures. And then, we have a mile and a half to walk back out through a dark woods with no flashlight and no cell phone with a flashlight. You ain't never. And any one of us smoked, so nobody had a lighter that we could light a little torch, you know, find some kind of weed and light a torch. We were the most unprepared Boy Scouts you had ever seen in your life. And there was about three. There was four of us adult men there that day.
Wow.
And four adult women, too. They were dumb as we were. But anyway, they didn't have nothing in their purses. But I'm going to tell you something. As soon as you saw light, you were like, oh, hallelujah. Do you know what the song was the kids wanted to sing all the way through the woods? This little light of mine. Yep. The Gentiles shall come to the brightness of your shining. Lift up your eyes all around and see. You got to do it. Nobody can do it for you. Sally Rice is with us.
Right. Woo! We don't see her, but welcome.
They gather all together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, and the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. Say it. All y'all bring the wealth now. All y'all bring the wealth now. Isaiah 61. Keep right on going. Keep right on going. This is what you and I are going to be doing in the end times. Isaiah 61, 1 through 11, the whole chapter. Ready? Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Say it. His spirit is on me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. That's what you and I are supposed to be doing all through our life. All of it, all the way through our life. The opening of the prison to those that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the day of salvation.
the day of vengeance of our God. Yes, a bear and a wolf. Yes. Yes, it was very bad, bearish, wolfish woods. The angels of God showed up, but to help all of the men to remember to have a flashlight, which I have with me tonight, he let it stay real dark and he just was with us. Good angel. I'm in verse 3. To console those who mourn in Zion. To give them beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. This is what you and I are supposed to be doing. Write these verses down. Just say it. I found my place in the kingdom. This is your call right here. This is what we're supposed to be doing. That you may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. You can't take no credit in this. You didn't get saved by yourself. You didn't get filled by yourself. You didn't get righteousness by yourself. You don't get none of this by yourself. You take it as a gift. And nobody can boast about that. Verse 4, we'll rebuild the waste places, the old ruins, former desolations. 5, strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of foreigners shall be your plowmen and your vine dress. Remember what I just said? The Gentiles will be drawn to the brightness of our shining, and they're going to bring their wealth to us. They're bringing their wealth for us to do what? Preach the gospel, seek first the kingdom, and help every person on the face of the earth hear that Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Amen? Verse 6, you shall be named the priest of the Lord. Right in your Bible, right there. Revelation 1, 5 through 6. 5 and 6. Don't you want to take your Bible with you to heaven so you can get Paul and everybody to sign it?
Oh, there's a
thought. See, the people on the earth are going to need a Bible.
Yeah.
I still want my Bible with me. This is my book. Jesus, can I take my Bible with me to heaven when the rapture happens? And then I'll drop it when I get right above a sinner. And he'll pick it up and say, oh, here's the answer. 7. I want everybody to read 7 out loud with me. Isaiah 60, verse 7. No, 61, verse 7. Instead of your shame. You shall have double honor. Instead of confusion, you shall rejoice in your portion. Therefore, in your land, you shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offerings. I will direct their work in truth and will make with them
an
everlasting covenant. See, this is talking about our assignment. It was prophesied 600-700 years before Jesus even came to this earth by the prophet Isaiah. And this is what you and I are going to do in the end times. And literally it says, instead of shame, no matter what shame has ever been in your life, you're going to have double honor in the place of shame. Maybe you were just wicked and perverse, and you just lived a wicked, perverse life. Well, God promises you that that shame will be gone, and in its place, you're going to have double honor. Maybe somebody mocked you. People mocked you, mocked your Christianity, mocked your Christian faith. The Bible says you're going to have double honor. Look at what it says, and you will rejoice in your portion, and you will possess double. That's possession. Not one car, two. That means not one house, two. That means not one Bible, two. That means not one, but two. And he's talking about things. Why am I going to want all the things, Pastor? So you can reach more people.
We use things to reach people, not use people to reach things. Can you fill in one? Why are they rebuilding the Ark of the Covenant and rebuilding the temple? Well, because they don't know about Jesus yet. They haven't got the fact that Jesus said he came and wiped out that temple and made you and I the temple. So they're going to rebuild that temple. And in the rebuilding of that temple, they feel like they're doing something for God. The Ark of the Covenant is already taken care of by God. So that's just man trying to recreate the presence and power of God, the anointing of God. And there's only one way you can recreate the power of God, and that is that you and I build our life because we're the temple. It doesn't matter what they do with the Ark of the Covenant. God doesn't live in the Ark of the Covenant made by man's hands. God now said, I make my abode on the inside of you. See, man, that's why the Catholics and Presbyterians and some of those Episcopal denominations and all that, they work so hard to do so many different things that are really not of any value. Because what they're trying to do is they're trying to help man reach God by a manly object. That was the Old Testament. That's been done away with. In the New Testament, we have a better covenant and better promises sworn in the blood of Jesus, not an animal. So it doesn't matter. They can rebuild the temple. They can, if anybody builds a building for God now, it's not a temple where the presence of God goes, it's a gathering together place where the body of Christ is discipled and trained and taught and then sent out into the world to go be missionaries and disciplers all across the world. Amen. So it's not a place for God's presence. See, in the Old Testament, that was a place for God's presence. You and I are the place of God's presence. All right. Well, I didn't think I was done there, but I'm being instructed to keep moving. So here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Matter of fact, I don't think that's the right verse. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Everybody's being quiet tonight. Am I preaching so good? Everybody's just, if they wouldn't, if I may, wouldn't that be like a false idol? Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Very good, Roger. Yep. Well, let's just read it. Second Corinthians 6:11-18. Time, there it is. Sally Rice, it's good to see you, man. Been praying a lot for you lately. Just blessing you, saying, Lord, don't know where Sally is, but we call her blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Verse 11, 2 Corinthians 6:11. O Corinthians, we've spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Isn't that what I was reading last night? Mm-hmm. You are restricted by your own affections. See, most everybody that's with us is born again. You're born again. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of you speak in the heavenly prayer language. Some of you haven't done that yet. But you most certainly are open and ready and seeking God for it. But here's the reality of it. The only restriction that any of us have on this earth is either a demonic opposition, which can be the case, or your own soulish realm. Because your spirit, man, who you are, once you're born again, is in perfect communion with the Father. Any limiting force from that point on is your soulish realm that you have not renewed your mind to what the Word of God says about you and me. And so therefore you're going to have opposition to what your heart desires to go and do for God. because your soulish realm is in the way. You can't move any farther than what your soulish realm will let you go. If you believe you should be broke, busted, and disgusted in the kingdom, God's not ever going to be able to use you very far because you'll never have anything. You will never have a reserve. You can't do this if you don't have a reserve of anointing, a reserve of enemies, a reserve of love, a reserve of leadership. If you have no reserve, how are you going to lead in the kingdom? You can't. So what do you got to do? You got to get all the soulish parts of you into proper order. You got to get your life in order. You got to get your things in order. You got to get your ways in order. Not strict, not stringent, not brittle, not breakable. Just get excellence about your life. I don't know if I'm saying it right. I understand me completely, but maybe I should ask me a question. 13. In return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? You're serving two different gods. Righteousness serves Jesus. Lawlessness serves the devil. What communion has light with darkness? Nothing. Because wherever there's darkness and light shows up, darkness is gone. You ever notice there's no such thing as a flash dark where you hit a button and all the light goes out? No. See, darkness is the absence of light, but as soon as light comes on, darkness has to flee. When we leave this building, it's dark in here until we hit the light switch. And the light, well, as soon as the light shows up, 15, what accord is Christ with Belial? What part as a believer with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with an idol? For you are the temple of the living God. Say it. I am.
I am.
The temple.
The temple.
Of the living God.
Of the living God.
I will dwell in them and walk with them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. You and I are the temple of Almighty God, the resident teacher, the Holy Spirit. He's the same Holy Spirit in every believer all around the world. He is not confused. He is not deceived. He is not fleshly. He is not lying. He's not weak. He's not immature. The same Holy Spirit that lives in every human on the face of the earth who's been born again is leading every one of us to one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The Holy Spirit is not confused. Man's doctrines are, man's ways are, but the Holy Spirit's not confused. He's taking us all to the same place. Don't you love it?
Mm-hmm.
17, therefore come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. I will be to you a father. Don't you love it? And you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Want to say it with me? I am God's child.
I am God's child.
You am. Just got a notification. I'm not driving. I haven't been bringing my truck all day. I love these last three verses. 16, 17, and 18. You are the temple of the living God. See, that's why when man says, well, we found the ark. Well, what does that prove? All right, that's cool. You saw the ark, but the ark was used a long time ago, and that'd be cool if you could see it and you knew where it was and everybody could go see it. But man would trivialize it. Man would modernize it. Man would mechanize it. Man would make a pile of money out of it. And then there'd be small wars over who owned it and all the rest of that. So God's not going to do that. The Ark of the Covenant, well, why would God let anybody find that? He took it to heaven with him. Why? Because man would worship it as an idol. And God's saying to us right here, no, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are where God dwells. I will dwell in them and walk among them. I love these verses. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, God says to me, Samuel J. Cotton, walk among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you and every one of you that's here tonight. I'm a witness that God is receiving you right now tonight because you continually come out from among them and be separate. I love this.
Yeah.
I'm in 2 Corinthians 6:18. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, the Lord God Almighty. You know a father takes care of his children? Amen. Lay the word on us. I love it. I love it. Let's go to him. I got so many places I want to go right now, but let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Now, God just said to us, come out from among them and be separate. And I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God and they will be my people. He's in us. He's with us. And it's not just he came and saw us one day. He's dwelling in us by the Holy Spirit of God. And then he said, I'm going to be your father, and you'll be my children. Now, let's throw in for reference, say, Romans 8, 11 through 17. Because what is that? I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. I'm going to tell you. You guys are going to become as strong a preachers on these set of verses that I'm talking about as what I am. And you're going to be preaching it every day, all day long yourself, because people are going to have to hear this. You're going to have to look at people and say, listen, you need God. Well, I go to church. No, you need God. You got to get out of church and get into God. Romans 8:11 says the same Holy Spirit lives inside of you that lived in Jesus. That spirit bears witness with your spirit and tells you you're a son of God. I love it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 now. I'm cruising. I told you we're cruising. This is going to talk about the preeminence of Christ. The preeminence of Christ. And who he is to us and what we are in him and what's coming in this day. I want you to read this. This is 9 through 22. Thank you. Yes. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. James Denny Jr., Chris Carr. Welcome, Chris Carr. Good to have you with us. Sally Rice, Ken Brumbaugh, Francetta Gross, James Denny Jr., Phyllis K. Raymond. Good to have all you with us. Sunday guys are Rebecca Smith, Roger Oxley, Sister Leanne, Brother Dan and Sister Gwen, and all y'all on YouTube, Facebook, and Blog Talk Radio that I can't see, we love you, and I appreciate you being here. And what God just said, I pray that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, amen. I want you to underline or circle something, the word all. I want you to kind of just keep track of them here. As we go through this, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Somebody asked me the other day if I thought they were worthy. I said, did you pray and say, I receive you, Jesus? They're like, yeah. I said, then you're worthy. But I didn't feel anything. It's not about a feeling ever. It's about a feeling ever.
So I circled all, and then I just circled fully pleasing him in verse 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. Being fruitful in every good work. See, all these are the inclusive words of God telling you exactly how you and I are going to live. Look at this. Strengthened with all might. According to his glorious power. For all patience, all long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father. Thank you, Father. Stay with me. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance.
He has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance.
In the
Amen.
Saints in the light.
In the saints in the
Now, guys, I've taken us on a journey tonight of a lot of verses, and I'm answering question after question after question after question. You might say, Pastor, I don't even remember seeing too many questions. No, I know there's not been a lot of them, but you know what? On the inside of it, a bunch of you, you're like, oh, yeah, all right, I see that. Oh, I see that now. I was talking with Brother Dan today on the phone, and I made this statement. I'm like, you know what, Dan? We are in a place in the world, in the Christian, in the history of the church that nobody's ever been in before.
Oh, yeah.
There's nobody. Yeah. There is nobody who's ever been in this position where we are before. So there ain't nobody that's going to be able to say, well, we were here before. This is how you operate. Uh-uh. Every step you and I take right now is water walking disciples. We're out there on the water walking with Jesus. Why? Nobody's ever been here before. Never in the history of the world has there been this much meltdown, confusion, destruction, perversion that covered this much of the earth at the same time that there's this much light and blessing and health and strength and power and healing and deliverance and victory and peace and power and dominion. The gospel is literally preached from the top of the earth to the bottom and all the way around the middle. But the Copeland got his mission accomplished. How cool is that? Look at verse 10 again. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. Well, Pastor, how am I ever going to fully please God? I still sin. You're going to fully please him because you're going to finally fully receive him and realize that none of that stuff any longer matters in your life. And you can't be righteous in your own strength. You can't be holy in your own strength. You can't be anointed in your own strength. You can't do any of this in your own strength. It's a gift. Receive it. And now you get to be fruitful in every good work and increase in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience, all long-suffering with joy. Patience with joy, long-suffering with joy. Giving thanks to the Father. This is the same Father who over here in 2 Corinthians 6 said, I'm going to walk among them. I'm going to be your God. I'm going to be in you and amongst you, and I'm going to be a Father to you. Quit trying to get somebody to be connected to your churchy organization. Teach them they need a relationship with God, and that don't have nothing to do with a building or a denomination. Woo! Thank you, Jesus, we got free from that. The only question that is dumb is a question that's not asked because someone else may have the same question.
Amen.
My DI said that. His DI's name is Samuel J. Cottle. Down and give me 50. Love you, Roger. Roger. Ready? I'm in verse. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his love. You might say, well, I know, Pastor, someday that'll happen. No, it's, if you're born again, it's already done.
Hallelujah.
One person said, wait, I'm born again. Chris saying, if you're born again. All right. So since you're born again, it's already done. He has already conveyed you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. The King James calls it translated you. It means carry you from one to the other. It means to transfer you from one to the other. It means to remove you from one place and put you in the other. That's what it means. He's going to convey you. He's going to translate you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Let's keep going. To whom we have redemption. Say it. I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
Want to sing the old song? Some of you might remember it. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine, all to him I now resign. I have been redeemed. You don't know that song? It's a good song. How many of you know the song? Wave your right hand. I'm redeemed by love divine. You don't know that song? Glory, glory, Christ is mine, all to him I now resign. I think we sang it in this song many times, why it's probably come back to me right here in this sanctuary. Sister Francetta, if you are with us tonight, I am actually sitting in the building of the West Branch Community Church right now tonight.
Yeah, she was here earlier. She hasn't been in a while, but she might be on her TV now.
Matter of fact, I think you got saved right over there in that corner, right over there. You got saved right about the edge of the pastor's office door now. Got to come up here and see it someday. In 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. That's what got me singing. Say it again. I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
I have been bought back by the blood of Jesus. Well, what did you do to deserve that?
Thing to deserve it.
You just said, Jesus, redeem me. And he's like, redeem. The forgiveness of sin. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He is the first one to be born again. He's our older brother, the firstborn to be born again. You, it's Jesus. And you and I get to be just like him. There's Francetta. I don't know if you heard it or not, Francetta, but I told you that I'm in what used to be the West Branch Community Church. I'm actually sitting right now about where Wayne and Jackie would sit. And that's the window looking that way, and the platform would be that way. And Brother Bob would be running back and forth that way, and then down the aisle that way, and back up to the pulpit. 15, he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Jesus was the first to be born again from hell. And you and I now follow in his footsteps. I love this next verse. If you've ever underlined a verse in your Bible, underline this verse. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on the earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body,
the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Jesus is the firstborn from the dead, that he might have all the preeminence, and we could follow in his footsteps. Verse 16, for by him all things that were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, they were created through him and for him. He is the head of the body. Remember? You find that in Ephesians chapter 4. Jesus is the head of the body. The church, who is the beginning, firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That's also in Ephesians 1:21. I gave you so many qualifying verses. You are the most well-versed people there are on the face of the earth right here.
Amen.
For it pleased the Father in him, Jesus, all the fullness should dwell, and you and I have been learning that in all of that fullness, we have all the fullness of God. I love these verses about all the fullness, all right? Because it lets you and I know that God ain't holding a thing back from us.
Right.
He ain't holding a thing back. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. 4:13. And that's Ephesians 1. 23. And that's Colossians 1:19. And of course, you go over here and that's Colossians chapter 1, 9 through, 23. I love it. Say this with me. All the fullness of God lives in me. And by him, to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated, you who were once enemies in your mind by wicked works, he has reconciled you and has not imputed your sins to you. I love this verse. Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren. Jesus was our example in every area of our life. And you and I get to act like he's ours, live like he's ours, enjoy him because he is ours, and walk in his paths and do exactly what he's done. And here's the revelation of it, guys. As he is, so are we on this earth. Jesus said, those things that I did and greater will you do in my name. 22, in the body of his flesh. Wait, I missed 21. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, he reconciled you. Why? Because you asked him to. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy. Why? Because he wants to. And blameless. Why? Because you asked him to. And above reproach in his sight. Why? Because you ask him to. I receive you into my life. Oh, okay. You get all this. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, or not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard preached to you, to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now, what's the point of tonight's message? Jesus' inheritance has always been eternal. Before the foundation of the world, he laid his life down. When it came to the point where Adam sinned, his life had already been laid down. Before the foundation of the world, it was already designed by God that we would walk and be with him. Your predestination was designed by God many, 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 many millenniums ago. And all you got to do is find it and then begin the process of renewing your mind so you see who God is. It's not a study for everybody, but some of you should do a study on the word all in the New Testament. Now, that word's going to be in there many, many, many times. Matter of fact, I'll look at it real quick. Let me just look at it real quick and see how many it is. The word all. The word all in the New Testament is 1,130 times. You reckon God's saying something about all in the New Testament? I'm telling you, he's saying something right now. I'm just watching Sister Leanne. She's getting the great big communion elements ready. She's a wonderful, wonderful helper. Now, where was I? That's not where I was at. Brother Roger asked a question tonight from one of his family members. Had a dream. And in the dream, the person was scared and was not able to function in great joy and great peace. And so the question then automatically comes, wait a minute, was this dream of God? Well, who knows? Sometimes God would give you a dream that would scare you. If you're wrong and you need to straighten out, right? Sometimes a fiery dart will show up and it'll scare you. I've had dreams that woke me up and I was afraid. But I think the most important thing that you got to do with dreams every time they come is don't give them any more power than what they already have. And then just tell the Holy Spirit, who is your resident teacher. Remember, we're not led by dreams. We're led by the Holy Spirit. You tell the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I'll do anything you give me to do. I will be anything you want me to be. Just show me and teach me according to the holy word of God. Thank you for dreams. Thank you for visions. But don't worship them like they are the word of God, because they have to go through the human vessel. And anytime you got a process, a spiritual process, and you start running it through a bunch of human vessels, then you got to... Now you got to decide whether or not the people that's having it are truly holy or not. Because if they ain't holy, then it's going to be affected by some wickedness or sin or perversion that they might be in. And then they might be saying the word of God, but it's going to come out all skewed because on the inside, they have a perversion that they're not willing to deal with. Boy, I just opened up a huge box right there.
Yeah.
Go ahead and put that lid back down. And we'll let that be for another time. And we're just going to rejoice in everything that Jesus has provided for us. Now, I know that I give you these verses all the time. They're going to become the most important verses of your end time Christian life. Why? because you and I are going to help people find our God. And we can't help them find religion, guys. Can't help them find a building, because buildings might be closed down by the government. What are you going to do? You got to help them find that relationship with Jesus. That's why what we're doing right here is so powerful. I know some of you work hard during the day. You turn the program on, sit down on the couch, and you're sound asleep. But you got it playing beside you, and here's the reality of it. God's moving on the inside of you. And then when you get a chance, go back and listen to it again, because it's really powerful. All of the all words, all of the complete words, all of the all-encompassing words of the New Testament, learn them. Study these verses. Get them down inside of your life. Why? Because God in no way is limiting any of his kids right now. No, there's no way on the face of this earth God's going to limit any of his children right now. But he can't make you deal with the fleshly things of your life that would hold you back. So like we were teaching last night, if you were trained to be rude or crude or perverse or a scorner or a mocker, you got to change that about you. You got to go into the Word of God and say, I'm going to get that out of my life. And I gave you those verses last night on the program. I put them in the family thread again today from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love keeps no record of wrong. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. See, when we truly get this down inside of us, there ain't nothing that's going to stop us. There ain't nothing that's going to stop us. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray and we'll close this time together. It's just really early, but we got a big day tomorrow. So we'll close early. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for every single one of our brothers and sisters that are with us here today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all of those who will come in the future and be a part of this program. Thank you for everybody on Facebook, everybody on YouTube, everybody on Blog Talk Radio. We bless them, Lord. Thank you that your word, that you told us we would be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Thank you that you told us we would be the restraining force. Thank you that you showed us we would rise and shine and our light would come. We would have the oil of joy for the spirit of heaviness. We would comfort those who mourn. We would cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead. Freely we have received, freely give. We would rejoice in the portion that is ours. Every bit of shame that's ever been on us would be removed, and we would be restored to the joy of your salvation. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, may every person here see the gift, the seed of their life that they brought here tonight, and sow it abundantly now in Jesus' mighty name. Say this with me. I sow my seed of my time, my talent, and my treasure into this ministry, this kingdom, these people's lives. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. I receive a hundredfold return.
I receive a hundredfold return.
Into my life, my family, and my finances.
Into my life, my family.
Hey, there's my mom. Can only be here for a minute. Just to say amen and love to you all. We love you, Mom. Don't know
know if you can tell, but I'm sitting in the old West Branch Community Church right here tonight. Mm-hmm. Just told Francesca she got saved right over there. I don't know where she got saved at, but, you know, that's a good spot. That was my mom's side of the church, so that's probably where she got saved. I don't know. Glory be to God. Sure do love you. Tell Andy and Candy and everybody in Florida I said hello, hello, hello. And watch out for the Gators.
Yeah.
In Jesus' mighty name. Now, tomorrow, we're going to be at the Capitol, Lansing, Michigan, on the steps, 3 p.m. sharp. Don't be late. Because we're going to be on time. I want everybody to say 50 degrees and sunny.
Amen. 50 degrees and sunny.
50 degrees and sunny. All right. I got a Missourite with me, so I'll just show it to you. Some people say, Pastor, you think you can just run the whole world? I can. Romans chapter 8. For this. On the right side of the altar? Yeah, that's the right side. Look at Romans 8, 19. Through 22. For the earnest expectation of the creation, that's the earth and everything is in it, eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. The creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. This earth is longing for you and I to stand up and take dominion of the process. We know the whole creation groans and labors together with pains together until now. What in the world does all that mean? It means this. The rain doesn't want to destroy on this earth. God said that wouldn't happen. But if you and I don't take authority over it so that we don't have floods, the rain will destroy it. We saw that right here in Michigan last year. 5 dams blew out right here.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Or 2 years ago. Why? Because the church didn't stand up and say, peace be still, storm. Right now, Michigan needs to dry out. 50 degrees and sunny would be a good statement for everybody to make, rather than saying, I hate this stupid rain. Well, you know, Michigan, all you ever get is rain or snow. Well, you're going to keep getting what you're saying. Start speaking your faith. Jesus didn't stand up in the boat and say, oh, my Lord, look at these the wind and the rain. Jesus stood up in the boat and said, peace. I think the boat was up on a wave. When he said peace, disciples just kind of all sat there like Peter, James, John, and Andrew had been on that Sea of Galilee many, many times in them storms. They had learned how to weather them storms. But they got a whole new revelation that night because Jesus said, peace. They're like, whoa. And then I love the story in Luke because it says immediately they were at the other side. They were translated.
Love that.
I've gone to preaching and it's just supposed to be communion time, isn't it? 3 p.m. on the Capitol steps. Make sure you're there early. Make sure you got your own juice and your own crackers. And make sure your phone's charged up and you got your battery pack with you. So that you got lots of juice. So if I send everybody verses, you can all get to them. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm not going to tell you whether or not we're going to stream live to you because I'm not having nobody sit at home just because I'll stream live to you. But we'll probably stream live. That's dependent on if we got enough signal. But anyways. Are you ready?
Boy, at the Capitol, it certainly seems like we should have enough signal.
We've said that about a lot of places,
love. I know.
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 20.
Everybody get your communion element.
What I receive from the Lord,
that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he blessed it, broke it, he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread, and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work until it comes. Don't you love it? I do. His redemptive work. What? He was the firstborn among many brethren. He was, you and I are bought back, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb from a better covenant and a better set of promises. Glory, glory, glory. Verse 28, let a man examine himself. So let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. We would not be judged. Verse John 4, 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we on this earth. Don't you love it?
Mm-hmm.
Say it. I'm just like Jesus. You are. You even look like him. You even act like him. I'm lost. What verse? Oh, verse 18. Perfect love cast out fear and the torment that goes with it. Because there is no fear in love. And there is no fear in the communion service. Make sure if you're with us tonight and you click like or love on one of these platforms so we know you're there. And we can be a blessing to you and pray for you by name, Jesus, by the name. For those of you that are with us tonight, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Paul's instruction to us is that let a man examine himself and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. What does that mean? That means that if you're with us tonight, you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, examine yourself and say, I need God in my life. That makes you worthy. And we're going to pray a prayer of salvation right now, a prayer of rededication, because the Bible says, verse 28 says, let a man examine himself. Not anybody else examine you. Not the church, the bishop, not anybody. You examine yourself. Pray this prayer with me, and you'll be right with God in the next 60 seconds. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
And John chapter 1.
And John chapter 1.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for it. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day for me.
And you rose again on the third day for
me. Put your hands out and just say it. I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
In every area, Jesus.
In every area.
I receive all of your mercy.
I receive all of your mercy.
I receive all of your grace.
I receive all of your grace.
I receive all of your love.
I receive all of your love.
I receive all of your righteousness.
I receive all of your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly prayer language.
Pray in my heavenly prayer
and live
language.
A successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Amen. And amen. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. That was the first time you ever prayed that prayer? Yeah, the insides are going like, woo! Like the one guy said, that's the biggest high I've ever had right there. One guy said that to me. He's like, woo, that's a rush. I'm like, what's that mean? He goes, man, that's better than coke or marijuana or anything I've ever done. I'm like, well, that's all fake human-made stuff, man-made stuff. This is when God Almighty fills you, and you get to have that every single day, anytime you want it. I love it. I'm just all fired up tonight. I'm ready. I'm just going. Now, you just went from darkness to light. You just went from fear to faith. You just went from your sin to Jesus' righteousness. Why? Jesus, the light of the world, just came in. You invited him. Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith, just came in. You invited him. You now have faith. Jesus and all of his righteousness just came to live in the inside of you. Father looked at Jesus and said, adopt him into the family. You are now an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus. Your sins have been forgiven, washed away, thrown in the sea of his forgetfulness, never to be imputed against you again the rest of your life. Why? Because you received the work that Jesus did.
High is the Holy Spirit. Amen, Francis.
And it all happened in 60 seconds. You might be like, yeah, but what do I do now? I don't even know how to be a Christian. Don't worry about being a Christian. Just be a believer every day. Wake up in the morning and say, I'm a believer. Father, pray with me. Father, help me walk with you.
Every day.
That's it. You got to have a church, body of believers. That's why you got us. Stick with us. Get with us. Stand with us. Learn from us. Let me email me, message me, say, Pastor, help me get some basic foundation principles from the Word of God in my life, and I will help you get that. We've got hundreds of videos available for you to study, and we want to be a blessing to you. In Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Are you ready? Let's receive the communion elements together tonight. By the way, you will find my email address in the comments, in the notes of every one of these platforms, wherever you are. It's always there, hgpreacherman@gmail.com. And I'm serious. If you send me an email, I send you one. But I don't spam anybody. Because as a pastor, if I spam, I get to reap a hundredfold return of that. And I don't have that much to spam. Can you imagine receiving a hundredfold return on spam? Oh, Jesus. That might not be bad if you owned a Denny's, but Lord have mercy. Get that much junk in your email address box? Ready? Let's bless our elements. Hold them up, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I bless these elements.
I bless
for this
elements.
Time of communion with
for
you.
With you.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is
and by your stripes,
I
heal.
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
in my mind, my will, and my emotion.
My mind, my will.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your broken body,
from
Jesus.
Your...
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty
in
name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Lord, that you were wounded for my transgression. Thank you. And you considered it all joy so that you would win me. I thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, now we lift up the cup of blessing. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin.
Every sin.
Has been placed in remission.
Has been placed in remission.
In my life.
In my life.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
And behold, all things have become new.
And behold, all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly.
I come boldly
to the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the words of my testimony.
And the words of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
Maybe we should say it one more time. By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of
every
Jesus.
Plague.
Every plague.
Has to pass over.
Has to pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or
my conscience family. Is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for
in
me.
In Jesus' mighty
in
name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Glory be to God. I want us to sing that song I was singing a minute ago.
All right.
Maybe people don't know that song. That's a good song to know. It's real simple. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine, all to him. I now resign. I have been redeemed. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine, all to him. I now resign. I have been redeemed. Can't seem to find the words either. There it is. Now, how in the world did they know to put those words in there like that? Here we go. Well, I got all four verses. I'm going to grab it right now.
I'm going to put it in my songbook right now. Sister Felicia Eicher, we need this one in the songbook. Can I get an amen from anybody?
Amen.
Thank you, Sunday.
You're welcome.
All of a sudden, it's like, whoa, there's people talking right there. I'm all right. Everything's all right. It's all right. I'm not scared or anything. I ain't scared of nothing except when people start talking and I didn't expect them to. Hey! I'm almost there. There it is. Oh, wouldn't you just know it?
The great amen.
The great amen, Brother Roger Oxy. Amen. Sweet is the song I am singing today. I'm redeemed. Trouble and sorrow have vanished away. I have been redeemed. I do not know the verse. I only know the chorus. So we'll find this, and then we'll figure out how to sing it one way or the other. Well, let's talk real quick about tomorrow. We'll be looking forward to seeing anybody that's there. Come, make sure you bring, be early. Everybody be early because I'm going to be early because I don't want people to have to be out way past decent hours of the day. But if you want to come and hang out with us, then we're going to hang out. And it's going to be a great day tomorrow. You know, hopefully there's 100 people there. I sent out a lot of invitations today. We'll see.
Francetti sent out a bunch, too.
Thank you, Francetta, for making that event.
Yes, that was awesome.
You know, I sent out a whole bunch for this by accident. I hit the button to send out, you know, and it just went bananas. It just wouldn't stop.
Wow, cool.
I'm going, oh, my goodness.
Thanks, Sunday.
Hey, well, no problem.
Glory be to God. I sent a bunch. But, you know, the thing of it is people can be there. They'll be there. And we'll just be a blessing to whoever shows up. And we're going to just speak the blood of Jesus over this state in Jesus' mighty name. All right. So let me start shutting this down because I want us to keep moving. You guys know me. I'll just sit here and talk all night. But we got done early, so that gives me the ability to get done early.
You guys can read the word yet.
We'll get read the word done, yep. But that's what we have to say. Remember this. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. If you want to come join us for a few minutes right here on Zoom, you can, but I got the other one shut off. Now, I'll be right back with you just a second.
So, it is on the east side of the Capitol that we will be meeting. Actually, I'm wondering if I wish I would have thought earlier, we should make a big poster board that says COF Communion on it. Oh, here comes Brother Dan. Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know if anything will be open by the time we get done here, but I may do that, actually. So look for a sign, actually, too, that says COF Communion on it. So you know what group. I don't know if there will be other groups there. I haven't seen anything else out there listed besides ours for tomorrow. So,
where's the parking?
Where is the parking? You know, I don't know. That is a good question, Roger. We drove around it the other day. Where do people park there?
I think the parking is going to be on facing street to the Capitol. There's a whole block of parking there. And then there's a building next to it. But you're going to have to park on one of those streets or in that building. If you get there Sunday afternoon, there's nothing going on. So If you park on the east facing, no, the west facing street that faces right toward the Capitol building on its east side, that whole street there, you can park along that street.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's probably room for 20 cars, 30 cars in there.
Oh, okie dokie.
Yeah, and I don't remember seeing a municipal parking near there, but there must be, huh?
Yeah, there's a municipal parking on the southeast corner. But there any of the streets that's not the ones right surrounding the Capitol,
mm-hmm.
which I don't think you can park right up against the Capitol now. I think they've made that just off street. I don't think there's any parking allowed there. But any of the streets coming up to it, there's always parking there. So, all right. Anyone else got anything to say?
Great teaching tonight.
Thank you. God bless the Holy Spirit for his help.
Amen.
I would recommend everybody go back and listen to it, including me. Thank God for his help in our lives every single day. All right, well, we'll see you guys tomorrow, or I'll see you in a few minutes on Read the Word.
And there is not going to be a noon, an hour of faith program, right?
Right. Noon hour of faith will not happen. That will happen at the Capitol when we go live.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Love you guys. Love you, Roger. Love you, Sunday. Love you, Leanne. And here we
Bye.
Go. Bye.